for what we're going to talk about today, because we're not going to talk about what happened the week of this morning. We're going to talk about the rejoicing that took place when he entered Jerusalem. This week here is the beginning of the foundation of what we believe. Palm Sunday, you have the Passover, you have his death, you have his burial, and you have his resurrection. The word resurrection should tell you something anyway. Res, you're revving up, getting ready to speed up. When I was in Colorado, lived in Colorado when Carrie and I first got married, I told her the night before that we were moving to Colorado. We got married. Anyway, we're heading to Colorado. I got this KZ500 Kawasaki, the 1975, the fastest most street bike of its time in that day. And when you're coming onto an on-ramp in Colorado with those eight-lane highways, if that throttle isn't wrapped out and you're not going at least 85 miles an hour at the top of the ramp, you're not getting on. We as believers should be revved up now. Jesus is on the cross. We're beyond the cross. I'm thankful for everything that happened before. I'm thankful for his life and the things that he did. But you know what? He still does the same things today. He hasn't changed. What he died for, he did, and the things that he did while he was here on the earth, he's doing today. Who? We had a time back here. I even brought this piece of paper out with me. We always have prayer with the ministers, the other ministers in the church here. They aren't volunteers. They're ministers in this building here. And one thing that I said, the Lord spoke to me this week. He said to me, he goes, I don't believe in bad days and neither should you. I don't believe in bad days and neither should you. And then I told him, I said, we should really have to struggle with saying, I had a bad day or I had a bad week. Because when we say that we've had a bad day or we've had a bad week, we diminish the good points that happened throughout our week. We diminish the things that God did in our lives throughout the week by focusing on those things. What we tend to focus on are the things that we tend to become. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. If you focus on the negative, if you focus on the crucify him, or do we focus on the rejoice? Here's our king. He's coming into Jerusalem. We're going to wave palm branches. These palm branches were anywhere from 6 feet to 10 feet long. And they were lining the streets there and they were waving these things. They were rejoicing. We're going to talk about rejoicing today. We should be living lives of rejoicing. We should adopt a life of rejoicing. There's a lot of things that bother us in life. There's a lot of things that annoy us. There's a lot of inconveniences in life. There's a lot of things that, you know, you may suffer something with your family. Somebody in your family is getting on your nerves. Somebody at work's getting on your nerves. Somebody in church got on your nerves. Does that ever happen? I see somebody patting their husband right now. Don't look around. But anyway. But things happen like that. But you know what? Those things don't matter. Rejoicing in the one who came and did what he did for us. That's what matters. This Sunday here is traditionally known as Palm Sunday. We all know that. And in the book of Zechariah, he spoke of this. He spoke of a triumphant entry of Jesus as king into Jerusalem. In Zechariah chapter 9, starting with verse 9, it says, rejoice! When you see the word rejoice, if you're reading the word rejoice in your Bible, don't read it like this. Rejoice. No. Matter of fact, we should read our Bible out loud. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing, I want to hear my own voice speaking the word of God. So when I see the word rejoice, I say, rejoice! Rejoice! O people of Zion. Now we see that, O people of Zion, and we think some Old Testament Hebrew, blah, blah, blah. Well, I looked up the word Zion, and it says any group of people, the Lord's people, who are of one heart and one mind, who dwell together in righteousness. We have anybody like that here in the room? People, we have any people of Zion in this room here? Well, if you're a person of Zion, what are you supposed to do? Rejoice! Woo! We're going to have fun here today, I'm telling you. I want to see some people, what do they call it, the Pentecostal shuffle? Why did it get quiet in the room here? How does it go? I'm not sure how that goes. I can't dance. Anyway, but it says, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming. Is that shouting ground? Come on. The Bible has many parts in it where we should be shouting instead of reading like rejoice. Shout, your king is coming. Come on. He is righteous and victorious, yet he's humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a colt. Knowing what we know on this side of things, I think we could do a little shouting today. I really do. I think we could do a little rejoicing today. Title of my sermon, Palm Sunday. They'll have it up there in a second. But the word that I want you to focus on is right down there at the bottom. Not Life Point Church, which you can focus on that, but rejoice. No matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, because of what Jesus did for us, we have reason to rejoice. If we find ourselves facing a trial, his word speaks to that trial. And if his word speaks to that trial, a lot of times, in certain things, he spells it out plainly. Here's what you do. If you want peace, do. Here's the Bible formula, you could call it. Some things aren't spelled out as clearly, but the principles are still there. But we want to focus on rejoicing here this morning. So the title of my sermon, Palm Sunday, Rejoicing. You know, prior to the Day of Palms, we'll call it, Jesus was doing all kinds of mighty things. Lazarus had just gotten raised from the dead. Sight was given to the blind. And the people there, they were excited about that. And on the other side of the cross, we know that he's still doing those things today. So if they were excited about it then, anybody ever had God do something miraculous in your life? How did you react?
Hallelujah.
There you go. That's how we react. I tell you what. I got to be careful what I say here. Of course, you should still rejoice and forgive me anyway. But let's stop being a sleepy church. I'm not saying you in general. I'm talking about the church world. Let's stop being a sleepy church. You know what I mean by that? Let's stop. When we read something in the Bible that talks about rejoice, talks about victory, man, let's act like it. You do when your favorite team wins. I mean, I've gone nuts at a football. Man, I was always the one in the room that was always, everybody was for this team, I was for the other team. And when my team scored and it looked like we were winning, I literally had a one-person parade throughout the house where we were at a Super Bowl party. I am winning. You are losing. Yes. I did those things. That was me. Now I do it to the devil. I am winning. You have lost. You're not losing. You've lost. And you know what? I can rejoice because I'm on the winning team every time. Why? Because Jesus went to the cross. He took care of all that mess. Because it was a mess. Your life, my life, was a mess before we got born again. And you know what? I always tell people, I lived a pretty good, I mean, I was a good kid. I was a very obedient kid. I didn't get into all the drugs and alcohol and all that type of stuff, you know. I wasn't that person. Well, guess what? Until I accepted Jesus as Savior, I was a dirty, rotten sinner just like anybody else. Don't ever let anybody look down on you and your past, what you've been through, because God has brought you out on the other side. And you know what? You can rejoice in that. Even though I was a good kid, doing all the right things, I still rejoice because he redeemed me from the pit. Him going to the cross redeemed me from the pit. So I rejoice. I'm going to say the word rejoice probably 4,700 more times this morning until you start rejoicing. But we're going to rejoice in this place here today. But, you know, he's still doing the same things today. The price has been paid for us to live a life, for us to live a life that's victorious, for us to live a life to where we actually love one another. We should love one another. We should forgive one another. Okay, moving on. But the people of Jerusalem, we're going to read here in Mark here in just a few minutes. But the people of Jerusalem at this time, they were looking for Jesus to come as their warrior king. The one who will finally pull them up from, will be out from underneath, because, you know, they looked to him as a mighty conqueror. They looked to him to free them from Rome, which was the reigning government at that time. Anybody ever seen the movie The Chosen? If you haven't read your Bible, at least watch The Chosen. No, I'm just kidding. Read your Bible. But, you know, they always portray the Romans as the ruling body, looking for anybody to step out of line. They were thinking that Jesus is coming to redeem them, to pull them up out of all that mess there. You know, they thought this is the guy. And he was. Their thinking was a little bit off. I mean, I used to have a guy too. Anybody ever have a guy? A guy that they always kind of looked up to and kind of give him the, that's the best guy. I don't normally get political, and I don't get political if any of you have been here long enough from the pulpit. But my guy was Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was the first president I ever got to vote for second term. I was in 1988, I would have been 26 years old. So I got to vote for him my second term. But you know what? I read his life story. I've been to his museum over at Eureka College where he went to school at. Eureka College was founded by the Church of God. Their school mascot is called the Red Devils, just so you know. But I've been to his museum over there. Very moving. Very moving. They have it set up really nice. A very moving museum. Some of the things they have there. When, the week that he died, Carrie and I, we traveled up to Dixon, Illinois, where he grew up. He was a lifeguard, and he's credited for saving 26 people from the river up there. Some of them more than once. They were young teenage girls, and they thought Ronnie was kind of, you know. So they were saved more than once out there. But went up to Dixon, Illinois, spent some time up there. And as much as I admired him, he wasn't the answer. He wasn't the Messiah. I don't care who's in office. They're a man. If I'm going to get political at all, I'll say this. I don't care who's in office. They're not the Messiah, and they're flawed. But we should still continue to pray for him, no matter if you like him or not. But anyway, but Jesus was the guy. And they recognized initially as he's coming to Jerusalem, this is the guy. He's still the guy today. If you want to say, I got a guy, some people say, well, I got this guy. I got a guy who can. No, I got a guy who can do everything. And I rejoice in the fact that he can do it. When I submit to him, no matter what it is that I'm going through, he delivers me every time. Yeah, but it's been 10 years. He'll still deliver you. Maybe something hasn't lined up quite right yet. When Carrie and I, when I retired, we thought, well, gosh, and then she retired the next year. We thought, well, gosh, we're going to Bible college now. We're both retired. There's nothing holding us back. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, we're ready to go. And what did I hear him say? Nothing. So we stayed there another 4 years back over by Pontiac, Illinois. Stayed there another 4 years. Looking back, I know why we weren't released. There were some things that needed to take place before we could go. Number one, my dad had died, and my mom was on her own. She had rental property. She had all kinds of stuff going on, and I was here, and I got all that stuff taken care of for her. I spent 3 years on every Thursday going over and mowing the grass, fixing things on the house, and then spending the rest of the afternoon with my mom. I'd made a promise to my dad that I would take care of mom. And for 3 years, I was there every Thursday. It was a three-hour round-trip drive for me. But you know what? I loved doing it, and I told my dad that I would. But things needed to unfold before I could be released. Sometimes things in our life need to unfold before we finally get that answer that we're looking for. Anyway, but rejoice. The answer's coming. It's here. He's still the guy today. He's a reason to celebrate. And we're going to look at Mark chapter 11. And we're going to start with verse 1. Like I said, you know, when they first came, Jesus first came into Jerusalem, we saw the video there, and you saw the people screaming, shouting, waving palm branches, throwing stuff, clothes and palm branches down on the road. You saw the way that they were responding. In Mark chapter 11, starting with verse 1. It says, now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. And he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, Why are you doing this? Can you imagine walking into a town just latching onto a donkey in there and trying to walk away with it? Anyway. Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt, tied by the doorpost outside on the street. And they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to him, what are you doing loosening that colt? And they spoke to them, Jesus, just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Now they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it. And he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road. And others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying. Now before I read this next part, I looked up that word cried out one time because I've seen it other places in the Bible. And if you want to put it in today's language, you could say they hollered. Anybody know what hollered means? Hollering. So when they cried out, they hollered. So it says here they cried out or they hollered, Hosanna! And looking at Hosanna, when you say Hosanna, you're saying rescuer, redeemer, our salvation. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, rescuer, salvation, redeemer, in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all these things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Jerusalem was lined. The streets were lined. Jerusalem got excited when it looked like the one that they were waiting for had finally arrived. They got all excited about it. You know what? I like it too when things are going well. Anybody like it when things are going well? I mean, I like it when things are going well. I love it when things take a turn for the better. You like going on the better or you like going on the worser? I'm not sure if worser is a word, but we're saying worser this morning. I love it when it looks like I'll be on top of the barrel and not under the barrel. Anybody ever felt like they were under the barrel? Well, rejoice because Jesus says you're on top of the barrel. Like I said earlier, Jesus was doing some mighty things. Lazarus was raised from the dead. People were excited about it. They were talking about how salvation has arrived. Jesus was on a mission. When he came to this earth, when the Father sent him here, he was on a mission. Anybody ever seen the movie Blues Brothers? They're famous for saying, we're on a mission from God. He was on a mission from God. And his mission was to turn this world upside down. He's still turning this world upside down today. Huh. And you know what? If Israel would have gotten a hold of that, the fanfare that was going on his triumphant entry would have meant more and would have been more lasting. Like I said, a few days later, they were screaming, crucify him. But we're not screaming that today. We're not on that side of the cross. We are in a position now with what he's done and what his word says with regards to us that our lives should be a life of rejoicing. Our lives should be a life of shouting. Will we go through hard stuff? Yes. Have we gone through hard stuff this morning? Maybe. Have we been through hard stuff over the last year? Has he brought us through those things? And if he has, man, we should be lifting our voices. We should not be silent. We're going to see it here in just a few minutes. There's no rock going to cry out for me. My voice will be raised. The rocks can stay right there and hold down whatever it is they hold down and do what they do, but no rock is going to cry out for me. You know, and as he was coming into Jerusalem, they had palm branches on the street. You know, these palm branches, they symbolize some things. These palm branches symbolized victory. In that day, these palm branches symbolized victory, they symbolized triumph, and they symbolized peace. And in that day, they were processions for kings and heroes. And Jesus is coming in this way. Palm branches. Walking down the street, riding down the street. Being looked at as a king, being looked at as a hero. They were laying these palm branches on the ground. They were waving them in the air. Have you ever been to a football game? And usually it's they have a guy cheerleader out or whatever, but he's got this oversized flag with a pole, and it's got either their school name or the mascot on it. What's he doing with that thing? He's waving that thing back and forth. Why is he waving that thing back and forth? Because he's saying, we're the best. Our team is the best. We represent the best in the conference. These people are waving these palm branches. We got the best. He represents the best in our conference. He's our coming king. Are we waving our banner today? We put these new banners up here. Believe? Believe what? Believe in Jesus and who he said he was. Have faith in whatever he said. Trust him in whatever he said. Wave a banner. If you noticed, maybe you haven't noticed, on each one of those, there is a slot where you can put a dowel rod in it. So we can, that's why I put the word Life Point facing like that, because if we ever carry them in a parade, now you can read Life Point. But that's a banner. That's the banner that we wave. We believe in, we trust in, we have faith in the one who's on the other side of the cross. And you know what? We rejoice in that. Man, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. And if there's power in the gospel, then what should we do? Rejoice. There we go. We got it. That's what we should do. I want to play, not quite yet. Another thing. When you had those palm branches laying there and when you got the coats laying on the ground, what's that remind you of? When they got a king coming in and they're doing their Hosanna, they're doing all their shouting and all that type of thing. What's that remind you of? To me, that reminds me of the first red carpet. I got to thinking about that. Jesus walked the first red carpet that I know of. You know, when a person's walking on the red carpet, I've seen them online before, where a guy will just be walking down the street and he's got this red carpet rolled up underneath his arm, and he'll take it and he'll unroll it in the middle of a sidewalk trying to get people to walk down this red carpet. Some of them will skirt to the side of it. Some of them will walk on it, and they'll actually do the walk. I don't know what you call it, the model walk, whatever it's called. But the red carpet is meant to draw attention to somebody. These clothes and these branches were meant to draw attention to Jesus. They symbolize, like I said, royalty, importance, a hero's welcome, and it's become iconic with today's celebrity culture. And I want to play a video. It's the Peabody Hotel in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's another version of the red carpet walk. Go ahead, guys. See how they're all lined along the street in anticipation for this very important person to come by. How excited they got for a bunch of ducks walking on the red carpet. Now, usually when a bunch of ducks get together, what do they normally do on that red carpet? They create a mess. But you know what? I've been to that. Actually, we were there when that happened, and my daughter and I, and got to see that happen. But hundreds of people would line up along that red carpet in anticipation for those ducks to walk that red carpet. And when they come, they got their cameras out, and they're shooting pictures, and they got flashlights shining on that. They make it a big production at that hotel, like this is the greatest thing that ever happened. Well, guess what? The greatest thing has happened. And that's Jesus, who rode that street there long ago, died for our sins, rose from the dead. He now reigns. We live on the other side of the cross. We can shout today. We can rejoice today. We don't have to look at some ducks to get our whatever going on here. We don't have to look at some celebrity. We don't have to have a guy. We have the guy. And he rules and reigns today. Palm Sunday. We a lot of times churches skip over Palm Sunday. It's not that big of a deal. But I'll tell you what, it's become a big deal to me this year because I'm thinking about what it says in there and how they rejoiced when he came into that city. And I've got a reason to rejoice today. I've got a reason to keep on rejoicing today. I got a reason not to let go of my joy today because of what he did for me. Whew. In Luke chapter 19. Verse 37. It says, when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Have you had miracles happen in your life? And if you have you raised your voice in thanksgiving, in rejoicing? This isn't a rebuke. This isn't condemnation today. This is a reminder that he has brought you on the other side. He brings you through. When you put your trust in him, he brings you through every time. The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Then, some of the church people. Oh, no, it says some of the Pharisees. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to be quiet. You may have done some good things, that's okay, but keep it to yourself. Jesus has healed you, don't tell anybody about it. Keep it to yourself. Don't leap up. Don't rejoice. Don't dance. Keep it to yourself." This is the church telling them this. "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Jesus replied, "I tell you, if these should be quiet, if these should be quiet, I know of a ministry called Loudmouth Christianity. Any loudmouths in the room? We used to call my youngest daughter Grand Canyon because when she opened up her mouth, it was joking. If you're watching, I raised you so I can say whatever I want. But anyway, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He said, "I tell you, if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." I don't want any flower gardens crying out on my behalf. Ain't no pavers. I got rid of the pavers out here in front of the church. They look kind of wonky anyway, but I got rid of it. I don't want, there ain't no, and when he's saying this, did he literally mean the stones would cry out? He didn't say any different. I believe the stones would start talking. Donkeys, have you ever seen a donkey talk? I haven't. Some people claim they're donkey whisperers or something. I've never seen it. But he did in the Bible. So if that's the case, do you think rocks could actually cry out? Well, don't let the rocks cry out on your behalf. Rejoice for the good things he's done in your life. I want everybody to think right now, is there one thing just in the last year that the Lord's brought you through? Something he's brought you through? And if he's brought you through it, what's your response? Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I'm going to rejoice. I'm not going to be silent. The rocks will never cry out on my behalf because you deliver every time. Whoo! "If these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." This trip to Jerusalem, and with all of its fanfare, Jesus was stating publicly, he was declaring publicly, "Here I am, and this is who I am."
And they didn't like it. People, the spiritual leaders, the church, they didn't like it. Some of the other people didn't like it. But he had never entered Jerusalem this way before. He had come in one other time, just kind of on the down low. Is that cool to say down low nowadays? I don't know. But now he's coming in publicly. He's on a donkey. Streets are lined. He's coming in as a king. He's coming in as a hero. He's coming in. He's being recognized. And the people are rejoicing over it. Jesus said, if these people stop crying, stop praising, stop rejoicing, the rocks are going to scream out, Hosanna. One thing that I'm trying to get across here this morning, with what we know today, Hosanna should be at the top of our lungs. He was your rescuer. If you were going through some struggling times this last year and he's brought you through, he's your rescuer. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior this last year and you came to know him, he's your Redeemer. And there should be shouting. Now, do you walk through Walmart just screaming at the top of your lungs all the time? If you want to. Now, you're going to draw some attention to yourself. People might think you're nuts, but that's okay. I remember a story one time of a minister who was growing up, and his mom was one of those that ran around the church all service. Hoo, ah, hoo, and just shouting and praising. And he would get embarrassed when his teenage friends were around. And finally, somebody asked an individual why she does that. And they said, if you only knew what God's brought her through, you'd be doing the same thing. Has God brought you through something tough? Shout about it then. Rejoice. I was talking earlier how we go to sporting events. And we see the shouting and the different things going on. Now, they don't have him there now, but U of I used to have Chief Alinawick. And he would, I just watched the other day his last performance there. He would start in the tunnel, and people would line the tunnel, just like we saw in this video here. People were lining the streets. They would line the tunnel, and they'd all be standing there like this. And he'd be doing his coming out, marching out like that himself. And then he would go into his Indian war dance. He's in full dress, got the big old feathers coming down, all this type of thing. He's going into his big dance. And the people are hooting and hollering, and they're screaming, you know, for Chief Alinawick. He's the hero. He's the chief. He's the guy. And people aren't afraid to do that in public when it comes to that. But when it comes to Jesus, we're not as vocal. Why not? Why aren't we as vocal? Everybody may have a different reason. But you know what? It's a choice. It's our choice to rejoice. We don't have to. We can keep it ourselves and be thankful. But man, I want people to know. When you see about a lot of these people who got healed in the Bible, the guy who was lame from his mother's womb sat at the gate every day begging alms. And when Peter reached down with his right hand and grabbed him and lifted him up, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. A guy who had never walked, so he has no muscle in his leg, he has no coordination, he has no balance, nothing. And when he reached down and picked him up and walked, it said that he began to leap and praise God. Brought him from that condition that he was in. I know there's people in here, and Kevin's testified before about his former life. He's got a testimony. And I'm sure he could get up here and tell you about it, and he would dance and shout because he still is thankful for what God brought him through. We need to remember those things. Focus on those things. Palm Sunday, they were rejoicing in the streets. We need to be rejoicing in the streets. History would tell you that the conquering king, he would always ride in on a war horse, a stallion. Times of peace, he would ride a colt or a donkey. This donkey showed that Jesus was king, but was coming to bring peace, bring people back to the Father. Forget the notes. We don't have enough time to go through my notes anyway. My purpose here this morning was to look at what they did on Palm Sunday. Forget about the few days later, what they were doing. They had just seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. There was all kinds of miraculous things that he did, and they were excited about it. They were screaming in the streets about it. They were rejoicing in the streets about it. And that's the focus that I'm trying to get us to look at here today, and I'm hoping that I'm getting the point across a little bit, is that we are on the other side of everything that happened. If it hadn't happened the way it did, we wouldn't be where we are today, but we are. We're on the other side of the cross. And we still have his word with us today. Jesus still speaks today. He still delivers today. Whatever it is you're going through, his word has the answer for it. Well, Rick, you don't know what I'm going through. Today's day is different. We live in a different world than they lived in back then. Well, guess what? There was still murder. There was still cheating on your husband and wife. There was still drugs going on back then. There were still all kinds of things going on back then that are going on today. Women were considered nothing. Kids were considered nothing. You know, all this stuff was going on back in that day. And it's still happening today. But he came to deliver us from all that. We need to rejoice. And I just want to say, as you're going through your week this week here, you're going to get an opportunity to be frustrated, to be angry. I'm driving in Champagne yesterday. Carrie's in the car with me. I went and bought a new suit. I only had one and it didn't fit, so I needed a new suit. I'm driving in the car. I pull up to a stoplight. The light's green and the car is still sitting there. What is the normal response, or what should your normal response be? Move! Can't you see the light's green? What are you doing still sitting there? And you know what? Carrie heard me say that yesterday. I was getting frustrated in Champagne yesterday. Everybody and their brother were out. They were shopping. I stood in line at the try-on room for 15 minutes waiting to get a room to try this suit on. I was getting frustrated. But was I looking for an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody in that line? Ooh. Was I looking to rejoice that I'm in a line where I can afford to buy a suit? Am I looking at the opportunities to rejoice, or am I looking at every opportunity that is going to come your way this week to be frustrated? I'm going to choose to rejoice, because in the grand scheme of things, what Jesus did on that cross, died, rose again for me, that's what's important. Are you going to get frustrated from time to time? Probably. But when you recognize it, repent. And he says he'll forgive you. And you can move on, just as if nothing had ever happened. So I'm going to choose to rejoice. I'm going to shift my focus from what they did a few days later, saying, crucify him. I'm going to keep my focus on Hosanna, Redeemer, Rescuer, has come to our town. Has come to my life. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for all the work that you've done in our life. Father, we are so thankful for who you are, so thankful for the price that Jesus paid on the cross. Father, as we move forward, as we walk out of this place today, I've prayed it so many times. We know that we don't leave you here. But your Holy Spirit goes with us, leading and guiding us into all truth. He'll speak things to us that come directly from the throne room of God, and he will show us things to come. And Father, as we recognize all that you've done for us in our lives, we choose to rejoice. Father, when things come our way that tend to aggravate us, and even in the midst of it, point it out to us. Individuals who frustrate us, in the middle of it, point it out to us. That in the grand scheme of things, that doesn't matter. We choose to do what your word says, is to love you and to love people. And when we do that, everything else takes care of itself.